Hello and welcome to another edition of Sight and Sound Presents. In this episode, we'll talk to Michael McCullough and Sandhya Rao from iBug. iBug, the Blind Users Group, is a nonprofit organization providing free training services of the accessibility features of Apple and other devices to the blind and visually impaired community. Through accessible technology, iBug helps people in the disability community live independent, productive, connected, and integrated lives. That's all coming up on Sight into Sound Presents. I'm Jim Bratton. Hi, this is Sight into Sound Presents. Today we're joined by Sandhya Rao and Michael McCullough. I'm Jim Bratton. So the organization is iBug Today. You all visited before, but so tell us a little bit about what the organization is and how to start. Michael, you founded it, right?
That's right, Jim. Glad to be here with everybody. We were founded back in May of 2011, and at that time we were just a very small little users group, just a few people getting together to try to learn how to use the first iPhones that came out that were accessible to the blind. And as we continued to grow around the Houston area anyway, people started finding out about what we were doing and wanted to join in, and gradually news started spreading throughout the state, and more folks, we added on a conference call and people could call in and get questions answered, and then it became nationally and now internationally. So
started in Houston, now the world.
That's right.
Sandhya, tell me how you became involved.
Okay, so yes, thank you again for having us. I got involved because I was there at that initial meeting, the infamous meeting where Michael was demonstrating his iPhone with all its bells and whistles, and I was just like everybody else, so impressed. And he was able to do all these things that I could not do with my sad little Razer that I had at the time, the Razer flip phone. Right. And so that definitely sparked an interest, and in just like, I want to do that. I want to be able to be independent and not depend on teenagers to help me figure out how to navigate my phone.
Yeah, you can't always be assured there's going to be a teenager right there, can you?
Yeah, or they'll say, oh, I'll do it for you. And then, nothing. So, yes.
So you said when this initial get-together, I have to ask, well, how did you assemble the first group, and what was your criteria? How'd you find everybody?
The meeting Sandhya mentioned, it was actually at a little workshop over at the University of Houston College of Optometry each year. The blind community in Houston has a little expo. So I was just doing a workshop after I had gotten my first iPhone about 6-8 months earlier and had basically taught myself how to use it. And a few people came up after the workshop and said, hey, can we, get together and continue meeting? And so that was the first meeting a few months later after that. So there were about, I think 5 of us actually in that very first little users group. So it truly was just a small users group, and the 5 people, including Sandhya here, and were part of that. And as I said, we just continued to grow from that.
Sandhya, how long did it take you to pick up an iPhone after that meeting?
So after that, I got an iPad and just kind of got familiar with that. And then about January of 2012 is when I got my first iPhone. So excited. So, yes.
10 years. Hard to imagine, isn't it, that that's been a decade? Actually, hard to imagine that it's that recent. And hard to imagine that it's been 10 years. It's sort of a dichotomy.
Well, it's a part of my body sometimes, I think, it's another appendage.
So initially, in 2012, for example, what was available accessibility-wise on the iPhone at that time, and how is it different than what's evolved over time?
So back then, you could do the basic, email apps, text messaging, some little navigation, listen to music, create your own contacts. I mean, that was one of the big things.
That was all voice-based.
That was all. Well, built into the iPhone is a screen reader. Mm-hmm. And so for blind users that are used to using computers with screen readers. They all know what that is. And so basically that's software that reads everything on the screen to a blind person. And so you could interact, and there were certain gestures to learn specific to a blind user using the iPhone that are different than a sighted person would use the iPhone when they just, you know, touch the screen and flip through. So you had to learn those new gestures, and that's basically what we were teaching, how to use those new gestures to navigate and get around the phone.
Well, Sandhya, what was it? You came into this. You were not, you were an early adapter, but not immediately adapting. So what did you have to learn, and what was your learning curve like as you saw some of the stuff that could happen?
Yes. So like Michael was saying, the gestures, like I had to learn like swiping, what happens when you move your finger, you know, swiping to the right, where are you going? Where does that take you? What is, you know, voiceover, like we said, you know, it's totally different from Siri. A lot of people think, oh, they're similar, but they are not. They're totally different. So voiceover is telling you everything that's on the screen. You could touch an icon and it'll say Safari or music. And then you'd have to learn, okay, well, I want to do that. I want to go into Safari. So then you would double tap on that with single finger. So there's like multitudes of gestures like that to navigate through your phone. So you can change settings as you're going along, or maybe you want certain settings in a certain app. So it's evolved over time, I mean, but... So I did have to learn how to navigate the basic home screen, and then getting into apps, getting out of apps, once you're in the app, using the app. So,
wow. And I guess with every iteration, there's probably been a few minor changes or minor updates as to how you interact with it.
Well, the basics are, that's one thing nice about the iPhone. Once you learn the basics, then any new apps that come along, They're generally built to apply those same basic gestures, and that allows you to navigate. I mean, there's nuances, of course, to any new app that you might have to learn. But the main thing, as time went along and changes to the iPhone were made and changes to applications came about, there would be new features added. And so that was what, you know, some of the main things that you would learn. What are the new features and how to utilize those. Not all those were, you know, usable by the blind, and so we had to figure out which ones were usable, which ones weren't.
I could ask a jillion detailed questions like that, but I'll stop myself, okay?
Well, I would say, like, one big, you know, physical development on the iPhone was the loss of the home button, and that was, like, a big people that caused a lot of fear and anxiety, and then, you know, we helped people overcome that. I mean, there's obviously, you know, a lot of people have adopted the new phones without the home button, and they are doing just fine. So it's just another new thing that you have to develop your muscle memory. So
that's a major. I mean, that was a major change, and certainly I hadn't even thought about the impact of visually impaired, because you got nothing tactile to work with on it. So the organization, you're in 2012, five people getting together at another meeting of some kind. What happened? How did you progress? I know you're a good sized organization now, Michael.
After we got started there in actually May of 2011, and then we got our website up. Actually, I'll go ahead and talk about our website, ibugtoday.org. Which is all a great place to get all kinds of good information about the organization. But once we got that website up and going, of course, then you're pretty much available to, you know, anybody around the world on the internet. And so that was the big thing that allowed us, and word started getting out, and the different blind organizations around the country would find out about us, and then they would, we'd publicize our group to the national organizations, the different lighthouses around the country. And so just by word of mouth, basically, information started getting out about the group, and people would, you know, that's one thing we, every time we have a meeting, as a new user comes in, we'll ask them, you know, how did you find out about iBug? And just, it's amazing to us the different you know, ways that, that people had heard about us.
Initially, your meetings were in person.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. We had initially just completely in-person meetings. We gradually, as we saw people wanting to join in from outside of the Houston area, then we added in the conference call capability. And then that's when it really began to grow, utilizing the you know, the conference call capability. And now, I guess it's no big deal. Pretty much everybody, especially during the pandemic here, have, you know, gotten used to doing conference calls on Zoom or Teams or any of the myriad of different other conference platforms. And so, you know, we were utilizing that even before the pandemic. So, you know, that transition into the pandemic was just relatively easy for us.
So you were there. What did you do, a hybrid meeting where you allowed people to come in via via conference call or Zoom or something and also had an in-person meeting initially?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, for the longest time. I mean, we started, you know, after within 6 months once we added on the conference platform. At that time, we were using, I can't even remember now.
Free conference call.
Oh, yeah, free conference call. So we added that in, and it was a hybrid meeting, and so folks outside of the Houston area could always call in, or people were in Houston that just couldn't, you know, because of transportation issues, couldn't get to the meeting.
Well, Sandia, when you moved to the when you start doing conference calls, did you keep those in the audio only, or do the video content as well? On
we have had the more recent ones are video as well, but you know, we primarily it's audio format.
Right, right. Yes. But go ahead and extend it into the video side. How many folks are you having sitting in on a conference call now, on a typical Zoom that you do? Michael?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
You awake?
obviously, depends on the type of meeting. Our typical training meetings, anywhere from, you know, 30 to 40 people. We have some training sessions that are unique to a very narrowed subject, then it may, you know, be just a fewer people joining in on that. And then we have a number of social events, too, that we host. Actually, each month now, we host over 20 different training and social events. And so that's quite a bit. We stay pretty busy. And
yes,
with that, you know, some of the social events have become really popular, especially during the pandemic.
Sure.
And people looking for things to do. And, you know, we've had upwards of 70, 80 people calling in on different ones of those.
Yes. Really? On the training, Cindy, on the training, what's the criteria for coming up with what you're going to teach about, or which areas are of interest, or what are the areas of interest, I should say, maybe?
It's constantly evolving, text recognition, scanning, you know, because people want to be able to read a menu or read their prescription or on a medicine bottle. Navigation is very hot with, you know, first it was outdoor, you know, just where am I and, you know, where am I going?
Right.
And now we have indoor navigation is really, you know, moving forward. So that's going to be really exciting where you could, you know, right now we have the capability of like, you know, going, you know, you start off and then you mark your location, kind of like laying breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
And then to be able to return. So that would be so powerful. Like if you go to a doctor's office and, you know, you'll be able to get in and out, or you go to a restaurant and you need to go to the restroom, you know, so there's so many applications for that. So that's huge.
Are people leaning more toward earbuds or something for the audio content now, as opposed to the speaker from, or using AirPods or anything, or what's the direction on that, Sandy?
People are, you know, they love the AirPods. The AirPods Pro gives them a lot of, and then some of these apps work, give you more information, directional information, like the app Soundscape gives you, you know, depending, it'll be if the location or something is coming up on a certain side, you'll get feedback on that side of on that ear. So it's pretty cool.
Michael, there's a lot of handshake and communication between the AirPods and the phone now, aren't there, in terms of the information exchanged back and forth?
There is, but that's one really nice thing about Apple. I mean, it pretty much works seamlessly. There are times there's hiccups, but yeah, the Bluetooth technology has gotten to the point now that, I mean, you have a pair of AirPods, and once you take them out and just open the case, it just automatically does all the connection for you to the iPhone or the iPad or your Mac, whatever the case may be. The issue comes up if you're using certain AirPods or different headphones that you want to go back between. You know, we do training on both Android devices and the Apple devices.
Oh, okay.
And so going back and forth between those two platforms, then you may experience some issues.
I was going to ask about that. Did you make a transition from an Android device, Sandy, originally then?
Yes, we've started providing training on the Android. We had a program a while ago, and then we revived it recently in the last year. And it's great. I mean, we're learning all the different nuances of that whole operating system. It's totally different. The gestures, I mean, some are similar and some are different. And there lies the need for our training. And so we have similar training for the Android.
I was going to ask, even though phone's been out 10 years plus on the iPhone, do you still have people that are hesitant to try it, and how do you get them past that hurdle?
Right. I mean, there's a lot of anxiety because you have a flat glass screen, and there's no bookmarks. There's no, landmarks on your phone, so tactile landmarks. And so overcoming that, I mean, I remember thinking myself, what am I going to do with this thing? So it does take a little bit of courage, and once you get them started, and there is a learning curve, like with anything, and then the exciting part is when they get that, oh my goodness, I get it, then that's the excitement.
So maybe if somebody has an interest that's listening and making that transition, it is ibugtoday.org. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's the place to go.
We have actually a mentoring program where we specifically help beginner users in this exact issue, this situation where they've gotten the phone, came home from the store, and now what, So we help them, and all of our services, everything is free. The training is free. We match them up with one of our amazing advanced users, and then they meet on a weekly basis and for several weeks, 12 weeks, and then they're on their way. And then they'll, they can continue to rely on our other trainings to get ongoing help.
What a sophisticated system you folks have in place this is just sort of overwhelming the way you've worked this out in so many different directions to be able to serve all the needs. Michael, what do you see coming down the road?
In the future, well, we would, we've mentioned the Apple and the Android products, and we'll continue to expand there. Right now, our Android training is pretty limited, so we'd definitely like to expand on it and offer, similar to what we're doing with the iPhone, the one-on-one mentoring training at some point in time. With the non-mobile devices, the Macs, new Macs have just come out here in the past year or so, and there are a lot do a lot of things faster, quicker, jump higher, and all that good stuff. And so, we're expanding our training on the Mac computers, and we're finding a number of people are wanting to learn how to use the Mac. So we'll continue doing that.
We currently have two Mac classes, like official in the spring and in the fall. So
really?
We have, one of our amazing volunteers is teaching that class, and this is probably like our fourth year, and it's been wonderful.
From both of you, question for both of you. We're getting close to wrapping up now, but I'd like to ask, What are some apps that you would suggest? Let's go ahead and we'll stay in the iPhone realm now. What do you see and what do you suggest and what is a favorite of both of yours?
Go ahead.
Let's see. I love the news. So I would have to say NFB Newsline provides a wide range of, you know, magazines and publicate newspapers. So that's one of my favorite apps that I use daily. And then I guess the other one would be Bard. So there I can download books, novels, and or, you know, various genre books, and then I can listen to those as well. I have about 40 books on my phone right there.
So it's amazing that you could have an entire library in the palm of your hand.
Yes.
Yeah. Michael, what are you looking at?
For me, I like the what I call the Swiss Army knife of the apps. There's actually a couple on the iPhone that I use, one called Seeing AI.
Yeah.
And that allows you to do a number of different things. I can take, you know, printed material and just, you know, if it's quick and dirty reading, like I get mail or bills or something I just wanted to take a quick look at, then I can just have my phone camera scan over it and it'll instantly read that back to me. If there's multiple pages of a document, then I can actually capture each page and it'll do pretty nice optical character recognition and, you know, convert that into text that can be read out via voice to me. It'll also, you know, if I have photos of people that I know loaded into the phone, then if I walk into a room, I can just take the camera, scan around the room, and it'll tell me if, you know, any of those people are there. You know, I go to a conference or a meeting or something and lets me know those people are around. It'll recognize money, will help me. One of the new features on the newest iPhones is LiDAR, the light detection.
Yes.
And recognition. And so it'll help me be able to navigate indoors.
Wow.
And that's a kind of a new thing because navigation outdoors is pretty, you know, standard now,
right,
with all the various GPS apps, but indoor navigation isn't quite there yet. So
we're starting to run a little bit short on time. I could keep asking more and more questions because this is all so intriguing. And you said a magic word. When you said AI, I just wondered how much AI is being implemented or is being worked into some of these apps now, the level of sophistication.
Oh, the camera app has gotten so fancy, just the built-in. I mean, it can tell you, you know, it can read text to you that's there. I mean, it's just so powerful. And then the last thing, one more thing I would add is, just basic, you know, it's not a fancy app, but just texting. I mean, just communicating with,
yeah,
like with everybody else. I mean, hardly anybody calls anybody anymore.
Right.
It's mainly texting and, you know, responding with emoji. And I know that sounds very simple, but we're part of the whole society. We're with everybody else, you know, and being able to do that is very important to me.
Gosh, what a great summation. We've been talking to Sandhya Rowe and Michael McCullough. The contact, again, Sandhya, to reach?
Is ibugtoday.org, ibugtoday.org.
The preference is to use the website. Is there a phone number they should even consider or prefer the website?
We have an email address. It's ibugtoday@gmail.com. They can go to our website and register and get all of our notifications. Like I said, all of our services are free. And we would love to, you know, help anyone that needs our assistance. We hope you'll join us for our social and training events. So hopefully there's something that is out there for you.
Final thoughts before we close.
Well, I just would like to thank, you know, Sight into Sound for inviting us here to have this little interview. One thing I know I enjoy with Sight into Sound, they do, you know, show or play movies on the Sight into Sound .org radio station, and I will listen to those. And in fact, that kind of inspired us to also do a movie night kind of thing, and that's become really popular with us. So thank them for that.
Sandhya, you gave a great summary before. Final thoughts, though?
Just so excited by it. The technology is changing, you know, all the time. We've been at, you know, we've celebrated our 10-year anniversary, and we've had about 520, you know, weekly calls, and we're still learning, and it's an amazing journey, and we just look forward to meeting and helping new people.
And if you would like to join that journey, it's ibugtoday.org. We've been talking to Sandhya Rowe, Michael McCullough. My name is Jim Bratton, and this is Sight into Sound Presents. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Sight into Sound Presents and our interview with Michael McCullough and Sandhya Rao from iBug. To contact iBug, please call 832-453-7139. That's 832-453-7139. Or email them at ibugtoday.com. That's I-B-U-G. Today.com. Sight into Sound Presents is a production of Sight into Sound Radio. Your producer was Jim Martinez. I'm Jim Bratton.